Okay, we thank you all for that rousing welcome and greeting. Always good to hear those voices in love. Now let me gather us together around the reading of God's Word. And today it's in the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the dream, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Big and small things interrupt our plans. Not just the big stuff of life that we call life-changing or earth-shattering events that might alter the way that we think about something or feel about something. We do have those. But I'd like to propose to you today that it's not just in the big things of life where God reaches out and touches us, but it is in those small things as well. Your thought for today is, God's glory is seen when he fills the mundane with the extraordinary. God's glory is seen when he fills the mundane with the extraordinary. Paul Tripp writes, "You and I don't live in a series of big dramatic moments. We don't careen from big decision to big decision. We all live in an endless series of little moments. The character of a life isn't set in 10 big moments. The character of a life is set in 10,000 little moments of everyday life. It's the themes of struggles that emerge from those little moments that reveal what's really going on in our hearts." Joseph and Mary, you could say, had a life-changing event where God inserted himself over and above into their lives. They had it all planned out. They were betrothed. They were planning the wedding. Joseph was doing what he needed to do to come back and to receive his bride and gather her up, as was the custom in those weddings. And then he gets the news, maybe family members, maybe friends, Mary's pregnant. And so Joseph was devastated. And so as scripture says, he was wondering whether to just divorce her privately, because he was an honorable man, until God told him what was going on and why Joseph should accept this child. And so in that frustration, in that fear, Joseph then became a life that was changed by God. What Paul Tripp is reminding us of is not those big events that happened to Joseph and Mary, which we all have some of those, devastating news of disease and job loss and various things like that, the big events of life that can really knock us for a loop. But how do we handle those flat tires? How do we handle those waiting in line periods? How do we handle those obstinate sales folks that won't take back our return because of some reason? How do we handle those life's little frustrations, the broken windows, the kids' many questions, the doctor office waiting rooms where they want you to be there 30 minutes before time and they don't see you until an hour and a half after your appointment is scheduled? It is in those moments that God wants us to know that he is fashioning us, he's shaping us. He's wanting us to see his hand at work in all of our lives, not just in those big moments, but in all of our lives. God can also bring a situation to bear where he wants to move us into a direction where he wants us to be, even though we may not think that is the best thing for us. There's a movie out called Mr. Holland's Opus that I have at home, and I watch it from time to time because I think sometimes it sort of mirrors my life a little bit. But Mr. Holland is Glenn Holland. He's a man. He's got gifted with music, and he wants to write this great manifest of music, this symphony, and he's working on that, and he thinks his life is going to be one of writing and orchestras and all of the big stuff of life. And to supplement his income while he's trying to get his symphony written, he takes a job as a teacher teaching music at a local high school. He goes into that job kicking and screaming, but over the decades that he is there, he falls in love with it. He falls in love with the gift of giving to others. And the irony and the tragedy is at the end of the movie, after he's taught for decades, budget cuts come, and so the music department is cut. And so he makes this statement to a friend of his. He says, "You know, I came into this gig kicking and screaming, and now it's all I want to do, and they're taking it away from me." And so it was in those little challenges that he faced of making budgets, of teaching, of giving and pouring himself into the lives of others that he fell in love with. And that's what you can say, that it didn't come out in the movie, but in our life we can say that God led him into that because God knew that was where he wanted him to be. And so he came into that, and God inserted himself into that life and put him there, and it's what he really wanted to do. He had laid his plans of personal glory aside to find fulfillment in giving to others. And I want to encourage some of you that if God has laid something like that on your lap, if he's put that in front of you, to be that kind of person that you will give it a shot. That you will keep your options open, your heart open, your mind open to receive and to see what God may be doing in your life. Maybe life didn't turn out the way that you thought it should. Or maybe you're going in a direction that you thought you would not be satisfied with or happy with. But let God have his way and see what he does. The next thing I want you to see is that Christ comes to us in the midst of our heartbreak and confusion. As I said, the news of Mary's pregnancy broke Joseph's heart. And he thought about putting her away, as they said, or divorcing her, is what it was talking about there. But then that life-changing information came to him about who this baby is to be and who this baby is. And with that kind of information, you wonder if that sort of helped ease Mary and Joseph's stress as they were put into other life-changing positions as the birth of the baby was coming up. You remember that there was from other scripture, you remember that there was a census to be taken, and they had to go back to their hometown, and there was a travel, and Mary was great with child, as scripture says. She was due any time, and they had to go back because of the law, and things just weren't working out the way that they thought that they should. Because life does not always turn out the way that we want it to. The stress that Joseph and Mary was put into there, and the stress that we read in that story was real stress. Where are we going to have this baby? The regular place that we would go to have a baby that is too full, is too occupied, and so where are we going to go? How well we handle that stress in our life is governed by how well we know God. And in my heart, I want to believe that because Joseph and Mary had that divine revelation about this child, that they were able to maybe adapt to this stress in a better way than perhaps you and I could, had we not had that special revelation. They knew God in a very special way because of all the events that had led up to this time of stress. And so when those kind of life-changing situations come upon you, that kind of stress, then we fall back on what we know of God in those events and times that have led up to that time where your life is put under stress, where your life is put under uncertainty from diagnosis or whatever that comes into your life. How has God been up until that time? When we can praise God in our good times, can we not also praise him in our bad? Did God change, or did we? Did God's mercy fall short,
or have our expectations of what life should look like taken over our lives and taken it out of the surrender that we need to give to God. We are directed by the sovereignty of God, and only He knows His plans. There's always a chance to lean on God when life interrupts. Remember, like He told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness." When Paul had that thorn in his flesh, whatever it was, something that was troubling him, life just wasn't like I needed to be. "Father, if I'm going to do this mission, this task that You have put before me, all of this has to be taken out of my life in order for me to do this as well as You want me to do it, as well as I think it needs to be done." And when that thorn, whatever it was not removed from his life, the Lord assured him that "My grace will be sufficient for you." In other words, "Whatever you need, I'm going to give to you in order for you to accomplish what I have set before you." And that's what faith tells us, and how God pours out His grace upon us in our uncertainty, in our struggles, in our heartaches, in our body aches, in our physical ailments, as well as our spiritual ailments. In those times where there's dark clouds before us and we see that ominous thunderstorm building on the horizon and we're driving right straight into it, those times when God's grace and His mercy comes to us in that very special way, that is what Paul was promised. "Paul, I'm going to be there with you through this thing," whatever it was in Paul's life that he thought needed to be removed. "I'm going to be there with you through this. I'm going to be your companion, your fellowship, your provider, your strength, your comfort, your joy. I'm going to give you all that you need because My grace will be sufficient for you to carry out the task I've set before you." Christ also comes in the middle of imperfection. Luke tells of Mary gave birth in an unexpected place. Just a little sidelight here, you know, we have the idea of Jesus being born in a stable. None of us were there, so none of us could speak with certainty. We go by the fact that He was laid in a manger. But archaeology has shown that there was a distinctive style to Israelite houses of that time, where the bottom level of that home was used to keep animals overnight to guard them from thieves or perhaps being preyed upon by predators out there, because animals were very precious. And so they would keep a few animals in that bottom level there, the dwelling level, and then the rooftop in these houses. They're called Israelite four-room houses because of how they were laid out. But perhaps it was in that bottom level there with the animals where there was a stone manger that would be filled with straw for the animals to keep. It was where Jesus laid. But no matter where it was, no matter how it happened, it was not in the usual place where this child was to be born. And so placing these unreal expectations on life situations sets us up for failure. I want to take you to another Christmas special here. We're all very familiar with one very near to my heart. It's called the Charlie Brown Christmas Show. And don't laugh, it's been one of the most famous and impactful Christmas specials that were ever broadcast on TV. Came in, I think, 1965, and at last I've heard, it's been shown every year since then, affecting millions of people. Some writers have even given it credit for knocking the feet out from under the aluminum Christmas tree sales that was starting to build up. Remember those aluminum trees that they had back in Christmas, you know, the tinsel kind of thing on it? But here's the distinction there. If you go back to that special, I know we're all familiar with it. You know, Charlie Brown was sent out after his quest was, "Can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about?" And there in that famous speech that Linus gave, where he quotes from Luke, the Christmas story. And that was impactful because that kind of overt Christianity had not been done before in TV. And the writers or the executives in CBS were like, "I don't know that we should do this," but Schultz pushed it and persevered, and it happened. And God's word was read on broadcast TV that night that it aired. God's word is powerful, and it's going to accomplish what he wills it to accomplish. So never discredit this little special. But I want to take you to that one event where Charlie was sent out to get that Christmas tree. And remember, Lucy, get that big, shiny aluminum Christmas tree, Charlie Brown. And so there's a contrast set up there between man-made perfection, what man's idea of perfection is, and what attracted Charlie Brown when he went to that Christmas tree light. And he found it filled with man's perfected creations of shiny aluminum Christmas trees. But he was drawn to one little tree bent over that's now become an icon of Christmas that people go out and purchase bent over Christmas trees and have them in their home to celebrate. What attracted him in that Christmas tree lot that night? Because he was attracted not to man's perfection, but to God's creation in all of its perfection and imperfection. And even though it was not what the children expected him to return with, they realized by the end of that show that it gave them an opportunity to love and pour affection out, not only upon this little boy who was searching for a deeper meaning of Christmas than they had ever given him, but also to show that affection and that attention to this forlorn little tree and turn it into something magnificent. And that's what God does to us, folks, where he takes us, his creation, in all of our imperfection, in all of our bent over weakness, in all of our rejection by the standards of the world, perhaps, that we're not what they want us to be. And God pours out his love and his grace and his attention upon us. And he decorates us with all of his majesty, with the very essence of his Godhead and the Son of Christ being poured out upon that imperfection that is us. And he turns it into a thing of beauty that lights the world, that gives joy to the hearts of others. That is what God does, and that is what Christmas reminds us of. That bent over little imperfect tree that once attention and love was shown to it became something of beauty that gave joy to the heart. That which angels sang of is now real, and it is a gift that is ours. And it is a gift that we should be reminded of not just in December, but every day of the year, because of the impact that it has upon all of our lives. For God in his greatness and his glory pours into us the essence of his Son. The Spirit of his Son is given to us as a gift, and it decorates us with all the beauty and the extraordinary magnificence of heaven. That is who we are, folks, if we learn to live in that kind of existence. We are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. That's what Scripture reminds us of. So take that gift of Christ. Let it reach down into the imperfections of your life. Those times where you just wanted things to happen a certain way and you had an idea in your head that this is how it's going to be, and the rug was pulled out from under your feet. But also take it into those times of the daily struggles that we all have, with the flat tires and the broken windows and the kids' questions and the tiredness that we come home with. And let God use those moments as well to change us into the light of the world. The beauty of Christmas that you and I are being robed in the elegance and the majesty of Christ. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day just thanking you for all that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. How you can take imperfection and bestow upon us through the gift of Christ, the majesty of heaven. May we walk in that truth and revelation this day as we celebrate the gift of the Christ child. Father, we thank you for all that he brings into our lives and all that you do for us through him. May we walk in that grace and truth. And may the little things in life be looked at as a blessing of your eternal grace and provision being poured out upon your people. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.